Respectfully.
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 A Melanated Therapist.
Welcome in and welcome home, family. I'm Rade.
And I'm Demetric, and this is Respectfully, a Melanated Therapist podcast. Happy Black History Month. Just a quick disclaimer, this is not therapy. We are just two people who are doing a podcast who happen to be therapists. The information in our podcast is for psychoeducation and entertainment purposes only. If you are in need of therapeutic resources, please feel free to contact us and we'll point you in the right direction. Now, before we kick off the show, let's talk a little bit about how you all can support us. If you would like to show support through monetary gifting, you can send donations through Cash App at $RespectfullyMT. You can also show us support by sharing our podcast on social media, tagging at RespectfullyMT, rating the show, and writing reviews just to let us know you're listening and enjoying the show.
Happy Black History Month, fam! Well, today, our episode is about how we're doing so far in 2023. So check-ins are always a must. With that being said, first and foremost, how you doing, friend?
Doing good. Just trying to find balance, you know. I feel like, you know, the year went by quickly. And it seems like 2023 is moving in the same fashion because it's about to be March. And I just feel like I said Happy New Year to everyone. So, but overall, I'm doing well. Quick, you know, little PSA, you know, your boy is fully licensed out here in these clinical streets.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's good. So, you know, so now, you know, it feels so different because it's a lot of hard work. Like anyone who's not a therapist, like it's a lot of school. Then you got 2 years of clinical supervision that you have to pay for, you know. So it's a lot of money and time and effort and commitment that goes into being a therapist. So, you know, it's not as simple as it may seem. It's a lot more than just sitting across from someone and talking. So how are you, friend?
I am doing well. I'm doing the best that I can with what I got. Amen. You know, I honestly, this order of show should tell you how I'm doing, friend, because I put whole ass Happy Black History Month, and this episode is not going to be released until like March 5th. But you know what, y'all?
You know what, we are recording in February. So it's still Black History Month for us right now. Okay, do not judge us. Just sit back, relax, enjoy. Don't be here grading our work. Okay.
Don't do that, because
this is not a school assignment, but listen, but to be honest, at the end of the day, you know, every day,
it's always Black History Month.
Every month is Black History Month.
So, period. How about that? Moving on.
But leave it to Rade to point it out when we could have just kept it moving and y'all probably wouldn't have thought twice.
No, people would have definitely thought twice. You know people love to talk shit. The first thing it is, it ain't even Black History Month. But anyway, thank y'all for listening. Black History Month is every month, just in case you were confused.
#period.
But I am, oh my gosh. I'm doing well though. I like I said, trying to do what I need to do with what I have, what I want to do with what I have. I think I'm doing well. I have really been just trying to be in a present space. So I'm doing as well as I can be right now.
Love that for me. Love that for you too, friend. So I guess we kind of broached this a little bit, but I guess just to be a little more direct. So how has your year been going so far and how do you feel about it?
So far, my year has been pretty up and down for me, I would say, like emotionally. I don't think there has been much that has like necessarily changed too much. Like, you know, well, let me not say that. I have a lot more, you know, hobbies that I'm doing right now and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I really am enjoying those and just like trying to embrace them in different parts of me. Mm-hmm. So my year is going pretty well, I would say. But I'm getting into, you know, trying to be present, like I was saying earlier, which is mm-hmm. like dealing with the waves of every day. Mm-hmm. Some days I'm like super happy and ready to go. And then some days I'm like, ooh, girl, you were really happy yesterday. What the fuck happened today?
Listen, it happens. It happens.
Exactly. Because our waves come in emotions, y'all. Okay. And so I'm just trying to like be present with every day. And I feel good about that because this was a real challenge and I'm doing a lot better with it. So overcoming. Yeah. So how has your year been so far?
So before I jump into mine, so I have a question. Okay. So what are these hobbies? Because some of our listeners may not know.
Hope y'all ready for this. Hope y'all ready for this. Okay. So pole dancing.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Girl, let me find out my friend twirl around somebody's pole.
Listen, trying.
I bet you Mr. Knox is like, yeah.
No, he's a fan. Hikey, he's a fan.
Listen, he better be.
I know that's right. But anytime somebody calls me a stripper, he's like, she's not a stripper. His sister was like stripping a day therapist that night.
And a freaking she's sorry, I didn't say that.
What? This is not the show for that. Anyway.
Listen, this is uncut, unscripted.
Moving on.
Yes.
Moving on. Thank you. So pole dancing. Reading a lot more. Mm-hmm. I'm actually reading one of my aunt's books. I just finished reading one of her books. She's an author. And nice. LaConstance McKinnon, just in case y'all want to check your girl out. Hashtag. And then I'm also, a shameless plug, I'm also reading one of my pro fights books, Kyle Joel books. So I'm in love with this book. So it's an awesome love story. Doing that, traveling a good bit, taking some restorative spaces. Journaling, but we're talking about hobbies. Journaling, yeah, kind of feels like a hobby. What else am I doing? I'm doing a lot. Oh,
your usual.
How could I forget? Yoga. I have challenged myself to yoga 20 minutes a day.
Nice.
Because it's just necessary for the girl, you know? Just for me to have a moment of just free thoughts and whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are my things.
Nice. I like all of those things. So for me, let's see. How has my year been so far? How do I feel about it? Overall, I feel good about my year so far. It hasn't been what I would define as bad, but it hasn't been excellent either. You know, like Rodney said, you know, some of those up and downs, emotional based challenges. You know, work has been equally fulfilling and challenging. But everything's good. Like I said, I just got fully licensed. So that's a nice little, you know, positive for the start of the year. You know, low key, you know, I could have been licensed months ago, but you know, your boy was procrastinating. Hashtag don't judge me. But we here now.
It's okay. Exactly. It's okay. It's about right now.
Yeah, we're here now. And, you know, but I feel good overall. I feel that everything is on the incline, and I know that and have accepted that, you know, every day not going to feel like a run through the garden, and that's okay. But as long as I don't let the day that, you know, we might be running through hell impact my other days when it's not necessary, it's a big thing for me right now, making sure I don't allow, you know, the feelings of yesterday to truly impact my tomorrow. Some days are easier than most, but that's typically my goal, is when I wake up in the morning and the good Lord say get up, that I start that day fresh and brand new. Not saying that, you know, my problems just or challenges just disappear, but I'm just choosing to approach my days differently and start my days off on a good note and just, like you say, handle it day by day, you know. You know, the most challenging part, like I said, is work, not private practice, but, you know, I provide therapy at a K-8 charter school. And it's just, it can be quite challenging as far as my capacity to help versus the problems that I see. And for everyone out there, just know that in the mental health industry, there are always more people that need help than there are resources. That's the sad reality of the situation. So, you know, having to make peace with, you know, seeing kids run through the hallway and knowing that, you know, I can't help them all, or, you know, there may not be consent for me to provide them with therapy when I can clearly see that they are in need of it. So, you know, that's been the most challenging part of the of that job, but it is, it's still fulfilling because the ones that I can help, I am helping, and it's good to see, you know, clients change right before your eyes.
So, oh my God, you know, yes.
Yes, like, you know, coming in and, you know, flat affect or, you know, lack of emotional expression or feeling down and depressed. And then, you know, sometime later they come in and they're smiling and they're excited to tell you, you know, what they've done differently, or they're excited to tell you what they're proud of themselves for doing. So that's the fulfilling part. And that has been a constant. And one of the things outside of my personal interactions that have made everything worthwhile.
Yeah, I love that.
Nice.
You know, when you said that, it made me think about the importance of us being, like, you know, again, as open as possible with the show. Sorry, y'all. But as open as possible, you know, raw and real. And a little while ago, I dealt with a bout of depression for like 2 weeks. And trust me, the girl is still lingering. Okay.
Yeah.
And for from a therapeutic standpoint, I want to, like, you know, point out to everyone that when you are experiencing depression, anxiety, try not to own it. Like, I have depression. I have this, right? Make it separate from you. Externalize that shit. Because that's not only who you are. And, you know, when we externalize it, it's something that we can overcome. And it's not something that we are constantly having to just face because it's who we... You get what I'm saying? Like, it's something that we just have to accept as this is what it is. Because we do have skills, we do have tools, we do have resources. And so I wanted to share that because as my year has been going, it has been going well because I've been overcoming challenges, and depression has been one of those challenges I'm overcoming, as well as anxiety, because they run together. So,
Yeah, no, great point. Same, you know, anxiety is a constant, challenge, you know, but depression, yeah, it comes in bouts. You know, I went through my own as well, but it was, I wouldn't say I'm to the place to where it's lingering, but I feel like I'm in the place to where, you know, you're right at the end of the tunnel, so you can almost touch the light, but it's on the incline, meaning that, you know I'm getting ready to walk through that tunnel, but a lot of it, like Rade said, is through all of these tools and resources and choosing to, you know, not accept it or own it, but externalize it. But for me, it's just, it lasted a while, you know, and, you know, one thing about depression is, you know, my circumstances did not change, meaning that I didn't get a new job. I didn't lose anything. Everything was exactly the same as it was before the episode. But when you enter an episode, then everything feels intensified and it feels worse. And then now these things that weren't necessarily stressing me out are now stressors for me, which then triggers procrastination in myself, and then which triggers the anxiety, and then back to the depression, you know. So it's a vicious cycle. And sometimes you can't always catch it beforehand. But you know, the key is, as soon as you realize that you're in one, is to start implementing your emotional toolkit. It's like, you know, what I like to call it.
Love to call it that. The tools, the emotional toolkit.
And then, you know, because there's some things that, you know, you may not have to do to manage your day to day. But if you walk into if you're in a depressive episode, then you're going to have to do more to manage your day to day, because it's not as seamless or as natural or organic as it would be when you're not in an episode, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love the way you said that, because I noted it as lingering, and I feel like that definitely holds a negative context. But I love that you like reframed the whole thing of like, we're reaching the light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing, which is definitely where I am. And yeah, I put it all into lingering, but thank you for that. I appreciate you.
Well, you know, thank you for that, friend. But that wasn't, listen, at the end of the day, I felt that, because, you know, I feel like it's still lingering to a degree that, you know, once you're out of it and that motivation is back up and you're actually getting things done and you're feeling empowered, like there'll be moments where I feel those same feelings, like when I was in the deep part of the episode. So it does linger, though. I feel like you're still right, though, because it does linger at the end a little bit, but it's easier to redirect ourselves when it's in the lingering stage versus, you know, where we are now.
Where we are now.
Yeah, because, you know, and honestly, when you're at that end of the stakes, like where I am, where, you know, I'm right at the light, but I haven't walked through it. Like, you know, I have to be very mindful of how I'm managing myself, because if anything falters, or becomes imbalanced, I can go further back into the tunnel versus being able to just step out of it. So no, I feel like, you know, it's some truth to the lingering.
I was literally thinking the same thing, y'all. Like, it is scary to like move through this, or to be in the stage where you're like really close to the light and got to walk through, or it's lingering a little bit. And it's like, oh shit, am I about to go backwards? Am I about to regress? Is this about to happen again? Like, all the anxiety starts to come up of like, oh my God, is this happening right now when I thought I was like making progress?
Exactly.
And it can almost be debilitating. So I'm proud of you for also taking care of you to help you move through and get to this almost end of the tunnel, because it's hard, you know.
Likewise.
Like, thank you. And it's hard. And I always like commend my patients, my clients, everybody, you know, especially me working as a crisis consultant at night. Right. You know, I have been seeing Colorado seasonal depression has been through the roof. I have seen so many suicide attempts, so many suicidal ideations, MDD with psychosis, you know, kind of thing. And it was like, I'm like, oh my God, like kids even. And honestly, it's just kind of like, it's also hard to deal with when it's always in your face.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. When you're having your own bout of depression and it's like always in your face kind of thing. But,
Great point.
Having to help them with resources to help them push through always reminds me, you know,
have to do the
you're
same.
Not even in their position at this time. You're not in their position where you need crisis. You can push through. They're here trying to get help. You can push through too.
Great point.
Okay. So we both set intentions at the close of 2022. Do you feel like you've been aligning with them so far?
So yes, overall. But can I be doing better? Hell yes. But one thing that I can say, and that I'm very proud about, because, you know, at the end of the day, with the intentions that we set, you know, just to provide context, they're like lifetime intentions. They're not necessarily, you know, this is what I plan to do this year. This is like literally life-changing, you know, perceptions and experiences and routines, so that you can build these habits, you know, for, you know, your lifetime, where necessary. But one thing I have come to realize, and I have to work on the execution, but since I work a lot during the week, my body needs a full day. And when I say full day, I literally mean full day to literally lounge around and do absolutely nothing in order for me to recharge. Mm-hmm. And the way that I figured that out is because before I would, you know, get my naps in and kind of, you know, just take it easy and do leisurely things over the weekend, but I really wasn't, outside of, you know, going to bed at night and waking up and doing whatever I had planned for that day, I wasn't taking enough time for myself. So one day, I just stay at home. I was like, you know what? I'm not doing anything. There was no plans with friends or family or anything. I was like overworked, so I'm not going to write one damn note.
I know that's
right. So I just laid in the bed and I slept. And then I woke up and then I rewinded the show on Netflix that I fell asleep on. And I watched it again and fell asleep. And I just slept, you know, in bouts, you know, and I would wake up and eat and then just lounge and watch TV again and, you know, binge some Netflix and go to sleep again. And I woke up on Sunday. And when I tell you, I haven't felt that refreshed in such a long time, you know, I felt energized and, you know, I was so productive that day and it was just, it was the best feeling. So that's how I figured out that I need a full day to relax and recoup so that I can fully recharge and be at my best for, you know, the next week ahead.
That's dope that you like trusted yourself to just, all right.
Yeah, at first, today's, you know, it was a little difficult at first mm-hmm. because I always feel like because I'm such a, you know, quote unquote workaholic, I just always feel like if I'm awake, I could be doing something productive. That's mm-hmm. just in me. I you know, that's something I'm working on, but that's just in me. I feel like if I'm awake, I should be doing something productive, whether that's spending time with someone, I should be checking off a box somewhere is really how mm-hmm. I feel. But it's a lot easier now because that's been an ongoing thing that I've been working on even before I set the intention for balance, but I'm to a place now to where I've accepted it and I no longer feel bad anymore because before I would feel anxious because I'm like, oh my God, I'm sitting here watching this, like this is interesting and I'm chilling, but I could be doing that note or I
can't even connect to it.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. now that's great. I'm glad you said it like that. That's the best way to say it. Now, you know, outside of the acceptance, now I've connected to this this change and it's been yielding a lot of positive results. How about
you? Was this the question about attentions and like aligning?
Yes.
Okay. So glad you pointed out that this is a forever thing. You know, this is not a just this year thing. And the year just started, so we still got some time.
Right.
I definitely feel like I'm aligning with my intentions so far in some areas, you know, like giving and receiving love. I'm trying to do that mm-hmm. as much as I can, especially as I had that very intense bout of depression. We were like... Mm-hmm. 3-1, but at least I had one, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. with utilizing right. my support, you know, like, you know, and telling them what was happening for me. I didn't, you know, share with everybody, but I shared with some people and enough for them to be able to tell me, well, you know, I love you. We love you. You have love everywhere, you know, kind of thing. Right. And mm-hmm. me having to take a step back and receive that. Normally I'm that person that's like, girl, you know, we got you, or, you know, we got, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. trying to make sure that they, whoever it is, knows that I'm going to be present for them through whatever challenge. And, mm-hmm. you know, not to say that my people are not always present for me because they are whenever I need them. But mm-hmm. also in that moment, just receiving love in that moment is hard because mm-hmm. you already feel down on yourself, you know? And if you don't believe things about you, then it's going to be hard for you to take in what other people have to say. So I challenge myself to do that. And just giving love to myself, too, you know? Mm-hmm. Also, just, you know, being guided by spirit. I think I've been taking that really seriously. I feel like I've stayed aligned with that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of prayer, a lot of talking to God, a lot Amen. Of when I'm in some negative emotions. Having to be like, all right, what am I supposed to do? Or pulling out my tarot cards and being like, okay, I'm not hearing you right now, but I know this is how I can hear spirit. Mm-hmm. And so you got some advice for me? You got some words? You know, like real quick. Mm-hmm. And usually it is what I need. So yeah. And calling it opportunities, a struggle. a real struggle. Mm-hmm. I've been dealing with depression. But what we do know is, you know, like just being grateful and thankful for what I have right now, that also brings in other opportunities of abundance, of wealth, of all this stuff. So I'm just, that though, I've been doing, you know, definitely staying grateful for what I have and who I have. And then leading with courageousness and as in intention, courageousness and compassion for peace and blessings. I definitely feel like I've been aligning with this as of this last week. Okay.
Gotcha.
I feel like I've been leading with this over the last week. Something super cool that I'm going to be doing. I'm super excited about. I'm going to be doing like a mini training for, my crisis consultants that I work with, like, so my colleagues, about how to differentiate between spirituality or like, so claircognizance, clairvoyance, all those kind of things versus psychosis when we're evaluating clients during a crisis consultants. I know, right? I'm so excited.
That is
I'm
awesome.
So excited. It's going to be a small one. It's going to be mini, but it's important because honestly, a lot of people don't have the information. They don't have the word. They don't have the tools to be able to ask these kind of questions. And you know who I feel like really did us, like, you know, did us right? Oh, but I'm pissed because I was done.
I know who you talk about. You talk about the professor with the glasses.
About that taught us all the hallmarks for all the mental health diagnoses and
No, Dr. Dow.
Dr. Dow. I'm sorry,
yes.
Dr. Dow.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Dr. Dow. But yes.
Okay. Listen, but he wasn't who I was thinking about at first. So I was thinking about the other one, but I was like, but that's the one that, you know, some people didn't like. Yeah.
No. He's not, some people didn't like. I did not like him. Okay,
You weren't the only one.
He sent me an email.
Oh,
did you get that?
No, I didn't, because you know I wasn't a MFT. I wasn't on the MFT track.
Oh yeah,
he's
trying to invite us
one.
In for a training, sir. Why would I come to you for a training?
Correct.
You had him twice. Your mailing list.
I had him twice. The first time I had him was for an elective course, and it was actually a good course based on, you know, my experience and what I learned. And I'm gonna leave it at that because there's other pieces that weren't the tea. then the second time, I went to class like the first day and I changed my class. Let's just say that. And I think it was another elective based course, but it was just, no tea or no shade or anything, but, it was, a class where, I guess you could call, well, I
was that
say,
his spirituality class?
No. Okay. That one, that's the one I took. That's the one I took and
the
I learned
one.
A lot.
Okay, yes,
and,
I remember saying that one. Okay.
So, I actually did like that class. It was, I want to say hybrid, but most people, if I say hybrid, people are going to think that I talk about online and in person. But what I mean is that it was like a collaboration between two different departments under the same college. So there was undergraduate social work or psychology, not psychology, social work or behavioral health undergraduates in the class. So, which is not an issue, but in the essence of what I just said, but it became problematic because, you know, we're in graduate school and our education has been specialized in mental health, whereas, you know, when you're an undergraduate, it's a little different as far as what you're learning. So that means that there is a different appreciation for the class when you're at an undergraduate level and you're at a graduate level. And then also a level of understanding. So it wasn't elective. Yeah. So it wasn't like any, you know, harsh prerequisites to get into the class. But at the same time, when you have people in two stages of their educational journey, then, you know, it's kind of hard to balance that, in my opinion, because this is a gap. And I can say one thing that my graduate students understand, because we've learned that. And then but at the same time, now we have to stop. And then we have to explain that all to the undergraduates because they haven't gotten there yet. So after like the first class, I was like, no, sir. And I changed it, you know, and, but yeah. Yeah, but that's who I thought you were talking about.
Okay, so it wasn't even him.
Yeah. Okay. But Dr. Dow, yeah, sorry, y'all. We went off on a tangent, but Dr. Dow, it was amazing. He helped us, like, yes. I'm so glad he was my teacher for diagnosis and assessment and all of that. Because we learned from one of the best, and I just, everything that man taught me, it just is stuck. And it is, you know, one of the biggest parts of our jobs, and he prepared us well. So shout out to Dr. Dow.
Shout out Dr. Dow. I feel like neither here nor there. I was just going to say, I just feel like he should do some kind of other trainings for mental health providers, because looking at like other, even colleagues throughout the time that I've been doing therapy, I'm like, you could really benefit from understanding what the hallmarks are so that you can pick up on diagnoses a lot more quickly than you're doing. Because we would not be misdiagnosing right now. Neither here nor there. So I'm so thankful for him, because as I am also in high mediumship, as we both know, you know, tarot, all the stuff, you know, I have been able to, you know, move through my own educational journey through an understanding what spiritual visions and, you know, claircognizance, clairvoyance, clairaudio, like all of those things look like, and be able to look at what does this look like when it's a hallucination or a psychosis and things like that. And so I'm just really thankful to be able to, like, to have had him and be able to grasp what we were able to grasp, because it's a lot of information. It's a lot of information, and it's really tricky. So anyway, super excited about that. And so
before you move on, I have a question, because I know, you know, we all operate from different spaces and different beliefs and principles and all of that good stuff. So what would you say to someone who, if they're listening to this, that doesn't necessarily believe the same thing that you just talked about?
So, well, first of all, I think for me as a therapist, I'm always going to go off of what your belief system is.
Absolutely.
Okay. So if you don't believe in that, then you don't believe in it. You know, like, there is no push or pull here. The reason I'm talking about this in particular when it comes to my work is because other clinicians understand it, and they have seen it. And some of them that don't understand it, but they understand that there may be something else, you know, out there. Who knows? Whatever. There's some more universal things out there. It's still important for them to know, because just because they don't believe it, it doesn't mean that they won't run into a patient that does. You know what I mean? And so it's not about your own belief system. It's about being well-rounded to the spaces that you're going to walk into with these individualized experiences with patients or clients. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. You know, I just wanted to, you know, just to, you know, give you that opportunity to, you know, talk to the therapist and stuff, because I'm pretty sure there's some therapists out there was like, what? I don't believe that, you know, but like you said, just because you don't believe something doesn't necessarily make it true or not true.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think that's what it is. I feel like I've been aligning as best as I can. You know, giving myself some space, but ultimately, I'm just getting into this lead with compassion and stuff like that around. And not to say I haven't done it before, but I really haven't been in my bag of that. I've been in hermit mode and doing me kind of thing and not really engaging with other people as much to lead them through certain things outside of my work. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So, leading into our next little, snippet, are you trying anything new this year in your personal or professional life? If so, what are you trying?
I'll try to keep this quick because I talked about this towards the beginning, which is pole dancing, doing that twice a week, yoga 20 minutes a day. I'm journaling a lot more. I put a goal for myself of at least 3 times a week. Which does not feel like a lot because I feel like I'm always thinking about something because my anxiety is always through the roof. So this helps to just kind of put it all out on paper. And this is all like personal. This is all personal at this time. All the personal stuff I said at the beginning. The professional things that I'm doing right now, I just put myself out there when it comes to this. To leading my colleagues through psychosis versus spirituality. As well as I'm starting a new podcast. So yes. That's another thing. Thank you. And oh my God, I gotta show you something I made for it. I feel like you'll be hype. Anyway. So I'm starting a new podcast with my girl Tia. And super excited about that. I'm getting back involved with my sorority, going to different conferences and stuff like that, helping them out with our mental health initiatives. And honestly, I feel like that's about it when it comes to that. I'm not really trying much new when it comes to like private practice, keeping it a little bit the same, increasing these prices. Oh, I might be starting. I'm starting a group. I lied.
Nice.
I'm starting a telehealth group. So, shameless plug, if y'all are interested, this is going to be a soul healing group, okay? So this group is not for the week, but it's going to be an open group. Mm-hmm. So you can come and go as you please. And if you're interested, email us and I'll direct you to the right email, but email us, reach us or whatever. If you're interested in being a part of this group, yeah, nice. Y'all come check in, get involved, honey.
Snap, 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 snap.
Anyway, enough of me. So, are you trying anything new this year in your professional and personal life?
So, personally, the things that I'm trying new are, I'm laughing because it's pretty much kind of aligns with my intentions that I set. It's really just... being more present. So I'm quite present in all spaces that I enter, but plugging into them is what I'm referring to. So basically being more vulnerable and sharing more of myself with those who I invite into that space, kind of realizing that, okay, if I'm allowing these people into my personal space, then I have to share it with them. Otherwise, they're not really there, or it's a facade or a misperception that they're there. So just working on that, living more in my truths, meaning that, talking about some of the things that I'm going through and I'm experiencing because, like Rade, I'm used to being the one to extend a hand, not grab a hand. So I'm working more on grabbing a hand when I need it and asking for support when I need it. Professionally, there's a lot of changes, a lot of things that are going to be happening soon. I'm going to, revamp my website and expand my services. I am going to also start a blog or a vlog. I'm not sure. I don't always like to be recorded.
I'm so excited for this.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm not sure. It's going to either be a blog or a vlog or a hybrid or a mixture of both.
I love it.
But one thing in my professional life that I am, I guess it is new for me, is really just accepting the space that I'm in. And when I say accepting the space that I'm in, now in my private practice, I have a certain population that I work with. And when I say certain population, meaning that I advertise to this particular population so that those are the clients that I work with. Those are the ones that, you know, I have more specialty experience with. However, working in a for an organization of any degree, there is not that same model of structure. So I have to change my mindset when I go to one environment versus the other. So meaning that when you go into an organization, more than likely you're going to see an array of issues. So it's not really specialized in a sense that you're only going to see this certain population of, you know, the whole puzzle, but in an organization, most likely, depending on the type of organization, you're going to see different pieces of a larger puzzle. So just kind of accepting that and saying, you know what, this is where I'm at now. So I need to go ahead and plug into this space. And, you know, particularly when I go advertise to work with children who struggle with oppositional defiant disorder, no, I would not. However, this is like the bigger percentage of my caseload at the school is ODD. So, you know, so accepting that and saying, you know what, okay, so since this is the help that I need to provide to these students, let me go ahead and start engaging in more, you know, literature and research about ODD so that I can be the best support for my students and their parents. So, you know, looking for resources that I can send to them specific to how to manage a child with ODD or how to, you know, interact with them in a way that is not going to perpetuate the condition, but nurture them and give them the support that they need. Let's see, professionally. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you know, I've been the board president for NAMI Hillsborough, which is a nonprofit grassroots mental health organization. So really just doing a lot more networking out in my local community, meeting other providers, seeing how we can support each other for the greater good of the community and our surrounding communities. Just trying to do my part to make sure that there is as much support as we can humanly provide collectively, because we can't do it alone. No organization can do it alone. To services to our communities as much as possible. So that's the professional stuff. And a little segue back to the personal. So we are not 100% there, but I would say we're like 90-95% there as far as starting dating again. It's been yeah, it's been over you are a mess. But it's been like over a year, a little over a year since I've been out of my last relationship, and you know, just working on me and kind of realizing that, you know, people, you know, say, oh, you know, it's been X amount of time, this is how much time it takes to heal, yada yada yada, you shouldn't. I actually just talked about this particular piece with a client that ultimately, you know, oh, you shouldn't be in a relationship while you're trying to work on yourself, yada yada yada. And you know, I don't fully agree with that. I feel that, you know, ultimately, if you are processing and healing what you're going through and you're building a connection, you can do the same, you can do both at the same time. Now, it only becomes problematic when that person that you're building a connection with is distracting you from what happened in your previous situation. So that at that point, that person is a distraction and you're not growing. Now, if you are constantly reflecting, processing, and healing, you can still build connections simultaneously. So I think people have a misconception that, okay, well, you know, it's only been 3 or 4 months or 6 months, I shouldn't be dating or building new connections, when that's not always the case. You know, it's the difference between building a connection and building a distraction. So, you know, but for me, I just wanted to, you know, I felt like we get so caught up in what, you know, society, you know, low key or high key tells us as far as what healing looks like, what progress looks like, what growth looks like, when ultimately we are the experts on our own journeys. Exactly. So how can, you know, I know when I'm ready. I know when I'm healing. I know when I'm processing. And I also know when I'm distracting most of the time. but the whole fact of the matter is that, you know, when you start to look at all of these different, you know, aspects of, you know, what the messages that we get about, you know, healing and moving past a breakup and building new connections, that it'll build this irrational fear sometimes that you're not mm-hmm. ready, when ultimately you have done the work and, you know, it's the fear that's stopping you from moving forward to that next area in your life of personal growth and development. So that's where I'm at now. I finally realized, I was like, well, I still feel the same as far as, you know, I've got closure. I've resolved this within myself. Now, is there still some work I have to do? Of course, there's some work I have to do, but not to the degree to where I feel like if I engage with dating or with someone else or build a connection with someone else, that it's going to impede that growth of progress. So I think I've now just kind of gotten to the point to where I've almost accepted that 100%. So that is on the horizon, but I just have to really figure out what that looks like for me, because, you know, we work a lot. So mm-hmm. that's, you know, so although, you know, it could be fun, exciting, enjoyable, lead to something, you know, significant and very meaningful, at the same time, when you have so much stuff on your plate, it's literally feels like you're just adding something else to your plate, no matter how good it may feel, you know. So I have to take all those different factors into consideration, but things are on the up and up, and we heading in a positive direction.
Love everything for you. You know, okay, wait, I have a question, but to what you were just saying, another thing about dating or being with someone while you're in the process of healing is, or growing, evolving, is, y'all, we're always growing and evolving, always.
Period.
And so period. If your idea of once I'm healed, now I'm going to date, you're never going to date. I'm going to just say it like that, because ultimately the purpose of healthy relationships are for you to continue to evolve. They're for you to continue to make progress within yourself, right? Because that person is challenging you. You're challenging you in mm-hmm. the healthiest way possible. But then the other side of this is, you know, making sure that you can trust yourself enough to pay attention between your healing process and if you are, quote unquote, becoming toxic based off of unhealed things that you know you still need to work on. So keep those things in mind.
Yes. Yes.
But I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, Lord. Just the way you said it, I'm just like, oh, Lord.
You were talking about becoming more open and personal in your spaces.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing that necessarily? Like, what exactly are you doing to create this openness and to connect this or create this connection with other people when they're like in your space that is still safe for you?
Meaning professionally, like when I was talking about how I make sense. Okay, yes. So basically what I do is I just, because, okay, so there's two parts to this. So the reason why that I needed to do that is because I have specialized knowledge and skills in certain areas. So I feel uber confident in my ability to recognize and treat those particular conditions. And I have knowledge about others and I know how to treat others. However, you know, it may not be my preferred population. Not my niche. So at the end of the day, I can't, just because it's because of the environment I'm in, just because it's not my niche doesn't mean that I can say, oh, okay, well, you know, go somewhere else, or I can't help you. I have to step up to the plate. So one thing that how I do it is, you know, I still connect with any client the same way I would any other. But at the end of the day, I ask myself, okay, so what do I already know about this condition? Mm-hmm. What do I already know as far as interventions and you know, what's effective, you know, new research, et cetera, et cetera. And then I assess, okay, well, I know this and this and this, but let's go and find out more. Let's see if there's more to this. So I feel like it is just kind of accepting the space that I'm in, but making sure that I am, you know, we call it continuing education, because being mm-hmm. a therapist is lifetime learning, but at the same time, having an actual commitment to lifetime learning. Because some, you know, I'm not gonna speak for, I know what I see, but I'm just gonna talk about mm-hmm. me. But mm-hmm. basically, knowing that, you know, there's always gonna be things that you don't know. So instead of, you know, resisting or fighting, you know, that feel like, oh, this is not my niche, or self-deprecating and saying, oh, I'm not equipped to deal with this, become equipped. And then if you feel that they need a higher level of care, then you refer them out to someone who, you know, does specialize in it. And when I say that, it's based on the school environment. So school services are very, are different from outside services or outpatient services. So, you don't see kids as long, because in order to see them, you have to pull them out of their classes. So you can't see them for a big period of time like you would an outpatient client or in a mental health clinic or organization like that. So you have to be very adaptable. And, you know, ultimately you do what you can do, because the fact of the matter is this child still goes to the school. So mm-hmm. that means I still have to provide this support. So I need to make sure that I have the tools and skills necessary to provide that support so that they can thrive. And once they thrive at school, then it'll spill over into their home environment. But also kind of understanding that at a certain point, if you feel like, okay, these, 45 minute sessions once or twice a week is not enough, then that's when a higher level of care is needed. And then at that point, now I can help that person go directly to someone who specializes in that disorder. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that someone who doesn't specialize in it can't be effective, but there's a different level of learning and adaptability versus someone where that's their niche versus someone who has general knowledge and expands that knowledge over time to support a client.
Okay. Oh, thanks for explaining that to me. Yes, that makes perfect sense. So ultimately your openness is not only with, yourself with continuing education, but also being open to utilizing other people that specialize in this to create an openness within the community to understand the help and the needs of the client.
Exactly. And being able to, separate yourself from the situation, because it doesn't mean that I'm not an effective therapist. It means that, okay, I can see this child twice a week. And I can see them 30, 45 minutes, but they need something more solid and consistent because I don't have a consistent schedule. I just fit however many I can see a day in. So because there's no way for me to give each kid a set time to come, because there's other responsibilities that I have. So, but when I feel like they need something more focus and more consistent, then that's when we refer, I consider that they need determine that they need a higher level of care. And then at that point, I know what the issue is or the condition is, then I can direct them directly to someone who, has their niche is that particular condition.
Okay. Gotcha. Love it. I also love that your personal and professional openness is happening at the same time, by the way.
Nice. I didn't even think about that, but you're right. Look at that transcendent environment.
Yeah. This is how you know it's growth.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate you're that. We're working on it. Look, we're working on it. We're trying to be a better version of ourselves,
Mm-hmm. 100%. Oh, you know what I didn't talk about real quick? My professional life, with trying something new. I'm still working on my PhD. Nice. And I'm in the middle of my dissertation, and it's
almost to the end.
Oh my God, yes. But the end is where it becomes grind mode, crunch time, anxiety, all this stuff.
Fair enough.
It is a lot. So honestly, something that I'm trying new when it comes to professionalism in my dissertation aspect is asking for a lot more help.
Yes.
I am talking to my community. I'm sharing my dissertation, my literature review with people. I'm talking to my chair and being like, honey, do you see something else that I don't see? Because I got some more pages to write. Y'all need me to have a total of this many pages. So let's get to that minimum, because I'm not writing more than that.
Right.
So especially because my research has very, very limited information. It's so repetitive. I have to make sure that if somebody that had no idea what the fuck I was talking about and they read this, they could say, oh, all right, I know the information I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a lot. And I think I've always had an issue around writing of coming to one point because of the way my mind just works. Mm-hmm. I usually have one point, but also I'm looking at, okay, but there are all these other components that need to be discussed. Right. And I'm now hitting a writer's block. So utilizing my help and community has been has been just the best, honestly.
That's good. Listen, mine's still on hold, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I just don't have any room for it right now in accepting that, but also accepting that, you know, ultimately, as much as I'm a true academic, that I have to, there's some things I need to do first. I need to prepare myself a little better, and that's okay. And realizing there's no time frame. Like, as long as I'm still alive, I still have the opportunity mm-hmm. to do anything I want to do. You know what I mean? But I'm excited. I'm looking, I know you like, look, I'm in it and it is not the business, but I'm actually looking forward to it. You know,
it's not like it's a horrible experience. I'm not even about to say that. It's just, girl, lighten up. Dang. Like, I need some more free time. I need to not be thinking about this all the time. I don't want to read every week and write every week. I don't want to do none of that.
Right. Anyway. Fair enough.
So, what are some tips that you feel are helpful for keeping up with the intentions you set for this year?
Oh, okay. So the first thing I would say is create a vision board, or something along those lines. Like what I did with my intentions, I printed them and I have them listed or posted, however you want to say, in my home office where, you know, I do when I record and where I also do my teletherapy session, so that I'm always constantly reminded of them. I think that, you know, visualization is very important because the more you see something, the more it gets ingrained into you. So having them, it's one thing to write them down and put them in a journal, and then now your journal sits closed until you open it. But to have them posted somewhere where you have a constant sight line to them, I feel like that it hits different. You know, holding yourself accountable, but also being patient and kind to yourself throughout the process, because, you know, the fact of the matter is when you're implementing changes in your life, there's always, it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be times mm-hmm. where you'll be able to do it successfully, and there'll be times where you could have done it, but you chose not to do it for whatever the reason may be. So just being kind to yourself and understanding with yourself, because it's not going to be easy, because as we said, intentions are, you're building lifetime habits, not necessarily trying to achieve a short-term goal or, mm-hmm. you know, a long-term goal that once you complete it, then you're done. This is something that you want to establish and carry with you throughout your lifetime and adjust as needed. So, you know, it's always going to be a couple of setbacks, but just being mm-hmm. kind to yourself. And I think the easiest way to do that is to, if you have a opportunity to connect or engage with one of your intentions or display one of those intentions, and you don't step up to the plate that particular time, don't allow that one time to negate all of the other times that you've done it before that. So mm-hmm. don't allow one mishap or one setback to water down or minimize all of the hard work you had done up until that point. So don't allow that to negatively impact you or throw you off of your track or feel like you can't do it, when mm-hmm. in reality is we're human and none of us are perfect. So we're not going to get a home run every time we swing our bat. But the key is that even if I don't make a home run, I'm going to make it to the next base, and I'm going to mm-hmm. keep making it to the next base.
Exactly. Love that.
What about you?
I second everything that you said, because the biggest thing is, yeah, write them down. In fact, I'm going to print out mine and put them up and stuff like that. Like, I feel like I constantly go back and kind of like look at them and review, and mm-hmm. I remember them because they're really important to me for mm-hmm. lifelong, you know, kind of intentions, but also having that just reminder whenever I'm in my workspace to come back to this is important. You know, give yourself grace. Understand that progress and evolution is not linear. You're going to have moments of regression, and those are moments of lapse where you're intended to learn. When you're put in the same position again, it is time for you to look at the situation and possibly do something differently or similarly, depending on the outcome the last time. So I think those are really important, and, you know, giving yourself the grace and compassion. Also, give yourself a break sometimes, you know, like a part of intentions is not, it's understanding where they're supposed to be placed. It's about the intentionality behind, you know, or the purpose behind the intention, right? And mm-hmm. so you can't work on, or not that you can't, but I really don't recommend working on the same intention all the time, you know, like switch it up, look at different things, look at different points of views, talk to different people, and, you know, be open to modification of the intention once you start to learn yourself through that intention. So if you start to notice that there are certain things that you're like, oh, I set this intention, but this is actually not aligned with who I am, my values, my beliefs, or whatever, you know, make some modifications, make some adjustments, and keep it moving in a positive way, you know, not ignoring kind of way or passive kind of way. Still look at what you're doing, but also make modifications where you see fit.
I love that. And I think, you know, it kind of what you did with this episode is exactly the things that you did with this episode, actually. Find you an accountability partner. So when me and Rade, you know, were working on the last episode of season two, when we were talking about intentions, like, we know each other's intentions. So we check in with each other about that. You know, this is not our first time checking in about our intentions. This is the first time we're doing it with you all. But we check in with each other because we know each other's intentions. So that's how we help keep each other accountable. And, you know, so find you an accountability partner. Check in with each other from time to time. Like, ew, how you doing with yours? You know what I'm saying? What's going on? You know, what are your challenges? And use that to support each other. It's almost like creating your own little support group / community of accountability and support, because regardless of whether these are lifetime habits that you're building, you need support. So find your people and connect with them on a different level. And, you know, in addition to everybody achieving their intentions or getting the support and encouragement or motivation they need to achieve them, you're also getting that connection or strengthening connections or deepening connections that with people that you've already had connections with, but it's on a different level now.
And don't be scared of those connections. Don't be scared of those connections. If those people have already been there and been in your space and, you know, have shown up for you before, even if it takes a minute, you know, that you haven't talked to them in a while, whatever that looks like, just allow them to still be there. Allow them to still be there.
Hashtag period. Okay. All right, fam. Now moving on to our Earth lesson for the week. Creating a new start can begin with a shift in mindset and a shift in perspective. Always remember to put yourself first and to be kind and patient with yourself. Respectfully, a melanated therapist. All right, fam. We hope you enjoyed this check-in episode. There will not be an episode next week, but there will be one released the following week. Remember to follow us on Instagram at RespectfullyMT and send your questions and topic requests to RespectfullyMT@gmail.com. If you would like to show support through monetary gifting, you can also send donations through Cash App at RespectfullyMT. Until next time, fam.
Peace, y'all.
Respectfully.
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 A melanated therapist.